always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Welcome to Connecting Faith, and a good Monday to you. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. I always appreciate the opportunity to get together with you and carving out a little time here. I'm Neil Stavem. Ted Ross back at the controls after a little time away. So you've experienced the up north vacation right at the lake.
That's right. Rustic setting, you know, a cabin that slightly leans a little. And
sure.
Together with family fishing, it was wonderful.
A little musty and damp. Yep. And so,
you've been there,
Yeah, sure. But, it was by the end of the week, though, you're pretty relaxed, though, right?
Yeah, it's nice just to take in God's glorious creation, beautiful sunrises out on the water and soaking it all up,
From what you saw, the pictures, right? We should just clarify. So your wife got up and enjoyed the sunrise.
Yeah,
you slept in.
That's right. She would go out on the kayak at sunrise and say, oh, nice shots, honey.
The joy of vacation. So we're glad to have you back.
Thank you. Thank you.
By the way, I want to just let you know, of course, we've been talking at the end of the fiscal year for many organizations and ours as well here. Faith Radio wraps up tomorrow. So that's the end of the fiscal year. And that doesn't always mean a lot to people, but if you have been maybe pledging a gift and you haven't gotten around to fulfilling that pledge, an online gift now at myfaithradio.com really does make a difference for our operating budget, so it does help us out that way.
An easy link right there. You go to myfaithradio.com, pops up right away.
Mm-hmm. We've also are wrapping up a month-long effort with FEBC during the month of June to raise funds to provide solar power radios to people in Asia, particularly in selected areas where the gospel is, it's hard to access. And so radio in many ways really is the only gospel presentation that people have. FEBC has been broadcasting to millions of people across Asia and the Pacific Rim for years. And so every $30 that you can give provides one radio, and every radio has the power to reach, 25 people or more with the gospel. And we've had actually, the goal, they just set sort of as a goal during the month of June, so maybe we could reach 400. And we're just as of this morning, I think, over 177.
Almost halfway there.
Yeah.
Good.
So, if you're able to help and feel called to do that, we'd be grateful if you were sharing maybe, one, two, maybe 10 radios, just to know that the gospel is being proclaimed through this great outreach of FEBC. And you can make that gift online as well. It's myfaithradio.com. Well, they do have a toll-free number. And so if that's more convenient, you want just to take care of that. The number is 877-532-2998. 877-532-2998. And thank you in advance for doing that. That wraps up tomorrow night as well. So still opportunity to take care of a few more radios to share the gospel. We're going to talk not so much radio, although that's probably part of it, Ted, but today it's maybe more, I'm thinking film and TV and internet and books and magazines. It's basically the kinds of things that we choose to watch or to sort of let into our homes day in and day out.
Well, it's interesting. Sometimes I'll go see a film and then be talking with a Christian friend about it, and you kind of have that view from them of, you went and saw a movie or you went and saw that movie, and I don't go to bad movies, but, there might be a differing opinion as to whether we should even go to them or not.
We, some time ago, had a conversation about, movies, and a listener had said, I don't have to go to see those movies to understand the story behind it, or that they're trying to the message they're trying to portray, and it sort of led into the discussion. I don't have to go to a bar to be able to understand what somebody who's consuming alcohol dealing with.
Right.
So we want to talk about a little bit of those ideas of how do we maintain that tension, living a holy life in today's culture. Jesus had some things to say about John 17 comes to mind, that Jesus prayed for us that while we were in the world, we wouldn't be of it. Mm. And we've sort of shortened that down, say in the world, not of it, but there's Philippians 4:8, whatever's good, true, wholesome, think about those things. So one of my favorite verses, Psalm 101, I will be careful to lead a blameless life. I will walk in my house with a blameless heart. I will set before my eyes no vile thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, all right, so what do we watch? How do we balance this tension? We're going to get some good insight today from Dr. Mark Laser. Mark has agreed to come back with us on the broadcast, and we're happy to have him with us. He's the president and director of Faithful and True and the host of the Men of Valor program. It's Faithful and True's online radio show. And Dr. Laser is nationally recognized as a leading authority in the field of sexual addiction with over 27 years of recovery experience. And he's written a dozen books on subjects of sexual addiction and more. One that he and his wife have written not too long ago called Seven Desires, Looking Past What Separates Us to Learn What Connects Us. And we'll focus on that book a bit as well. But Mark, welcome back to Connecting Faith. Good to talk with you.
Yeah, it's always a great pleasure to be with you, Neil.
Well,
KTIA.
Let's talk about this. You know, this really is a tension, and, you know, it probably more than ever, I guess. And, you know, not just probably in the areas of sexual addiction, although that's certainly a part of it. What comes into the eye gate, I guess, affects us. But that maybe just say a little bit more about, you know, maybe some of the verses that you have maybe helped with your clients as you work through some of these things. How do we live in the world and not get waylaid?
Well, you mentioned one of our theme verses already, the Romans 12:2 passage, which is, you know, don't be conformed to the ways of this world. I think particularly, last week, you know, with some of the developments, particularly with the Supreme Court, Christians are going to be called out to be a remnant almost. It's like we are in the minority and in increasing ways, unfortunately, it seems like in American culture. And, you know, we're up against a lot of challenges. So that particular verse just constantly reminds us that we need to transform our mind. You know, mind transformation really has a lot to do with what we focus on, think of, prioritize in our lives, that kind of thing. I remember, you know, Larry Burkett, who's unfortunately passed away from pancreatic cancer, one of the great Christian speakers and writers on financial health, and he said, show me a person's checkbook and I'll show you their character or what are their values. And so there's so many areas where we need to be conscious that our thoughts and our pursuits and our goals are, you know, biblically based. One of my favorite verses in terms of thought life is 2 Corinthians 10:5, which is that famous verse about taking every thought captive and making it obedient to Christ. And, you know, when I'm working with men, I'm constantly working with them on their thought life, their fantasies, their selfish pursuits, and we're trying to figure out what to do with the thoughts in our head that we don't want to have. And very equally important is how to make them obedient to Christ's will in our life. If you want me to ramble on, Neil,
I think we, you know, we need some teaching in this area, we're living in a culture that obviously media is so influential, and I think, you know, we don't want to be, you know, sort of Luddites or, you know, living under a rock. I mean, we obviously are in the world. We want to be able to be relatable to the, you know, our neighbors. So, say more about it, because how do we keep our thoughts then captive in the midst of the possibility of not keeping them captive for Christ?
Well, you know, I think a lot of attention has been paid in our field, certainly, and in also other fields of spiritual direction that, you know, when you get thoughts that you consider sinful, unwanted thoughts, you should do whatever you can to tell them to go away or to replace them with things. One of the principles that I think is the most helpful is, and I would just have the listeners imagine this, if, you know, I said to any of the people listening right now, given the fact it's lunchtime, don't think about what you're having for lunch, or don't think about what you're going to have for lunch, or don't think about what you're going to have for dinner tonight. Of course, you know, everybody's going to start thinking about lunch or dinner. I mean, if someone tells you not to think about something, it actually gives it more strength or more power. So, you know, in the 28 years, Neil, that I've been free of sexual sin, I stopped trying to tell me not to think about things. What is more important to me, and you mentioned the Philippians 4 passage, it's like, you know, what do I choose to think about? So it isn't so much that I tell my thoughts to go away. I said, you know, be up there if you want to. But I am going to also choose to put in my mind healthy thoughts. And then I think one of the things that I'm really focusing on with men these days, in terms of the making it obedient to Christ, what is your calling? You know, what is your vision? What is your passion in life? I mean, the men that I work with have been directing their passion towards sexually sinful things. So if they stop doing that, then they've got some passion sitting around, and I think we need to learn how to focus that on God's higher purposes, higher calling. I love the Philippians 3 passage. It's 14, 15, 16. Forgetting what lies behind, you know, we press on toward the higher calling in Christ Jesus. So developing a passion for vision, calling, what God wants us to do, believe me, that if you start focusing on those things, that will start crowding out the unwanted stuff. And I think it's more important to be encouraging of what we are thinking about that's Christ-like and get less concern about the invasive thoughts whenever they happen.
So were those little bracelets good ideas, you know, the WWJD, what would Jesus do, or, you know, what would Jesus watch or think, or those kind of things?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's all important stuff. As long as they weren't elastic, and when you have a bad thought, you pop it, you know, like you would a rubber band. I've never thought that was helpful. I mean, if you want to associate pain with sexuality, you know, or whatever, that, you know, that's a good thing to do. But we're not going to condition ourselves out of this. I think here's one of my principal teachings, Neil, is that every fantasy, it might be sexual fantasy, romantic fantasy, it could be a sports fantasy, it could be a business or professional fantasy or whatever, it always is a message from our soul, and it always is telling us about something that our soul is needing or longing for or wanting to heal. My favorite example of it for myself is that, all my life, going back to my days in the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, you know, I had a dream of becoming a professional athlete and then witnessing for Christ. Unfortunately, God had not, you know, given me the genetics to be able to achieve that. There was one particular tennis match that I played in high school in the Illinois State High School Tennis Tournament that I actually lost to Jimmy Connors, who turned out to be one of the greatest players of all time. In my fantasy life, I can replay that match. And in my fantasy life, I win. Well, you know, you could say, you know, don't ever have that thought again about that match. You know, just don't think about it. That doesn't work really well. What is more important is to say, okay, you know, what was that original dream about? You know, about, you know, sports glory and fame. Well, it was really about serving Christ. So, well, Mark, you know, you're not going to be able to give a testimony about being a great tennis player, but, you know, you can certainly make that thought obedient to Christ by saying, you know, what are you called to do? What are your talents? What are your strengths? And if I find that I can now emphasize that, then strangely enough, the power of that athletic fantasy goes away. And the same principles could be applied to, you know, any kind of fantasies we have. Certainly, the sexual fantasies are generally about things that are, you know, our soul desires, you know, affirmation, attention, kindness, nurturing, being included, being accepted. This is a long teaching, Neil, but, you know, I'm basically trying to teach the principle that even unwanted thoughts are sometimes a message from our soul about what we really long for, and then if we turn that longing into a longing or hunger and thirst after righteousness, what does the Bible teach us? Then they will be satisfied. And if we get satisfied in our longing for God, then our unwanted fantasies will start disappearing.
And talk more about, you know, filling up with satisfying ourselves with the right things. the good nutrition, if you will. And we're getting some good teaching and insight perspective from Dr. Mark Laser. Mark's president, director of Faithful and True. And he's nationally recognized as a leading authority in the field of sexual addiction. He's a host of the Men of Valor program. It's Faithful and True's online radio show. He's written a dozen or so books. We've got a couple copies of one that he and Debbie have written together, his wife, called Seven Desires, Looking Past What Separates Us to Learn What Connects Us. And we'll hear more about, you know, some of those messages from our soul and how we can continue to live holy lives in today's culture. We'd love to have you join the conversation, too. Maybe you have a question about it or just you know, some experiences that have been challenging to you. We'd love to be able to offer some help and encouragement. 877-93-FAITH is our phone number. You can sign up for a copy of the book and ask your question as well. 877-933-2484. More with Mark Laser in a moment.
And I was said no worthless thing before my eyes. I will give heed. I will give heed. I will give heed. I will give heed to the blameless way.
From Psalm 101, I'll be careful to lead a blameless life. A little bit of Michael Sandifer, 22 past the hour. Talking today with Mark Laser. Mark is the president and director of Faithful and True and host of the Men of Valor program, Faithful and True's online radio show. He has authored a number of books, a dozen or so, on subjects of sexual addiction and more, including Healing the Wounds of Sexual Addiction. It was a groundbreaking book and his three-book Men of Valor series. And he lectures around the world, teaches at colleges, universities, and treatment centers, holds PhD from the University of Iowa and a divinity degree from Princeton Theological Seminary. And he and his wife, Debbie, have written a wonderful resource called Seven Desires, Looking Past What Separates Us to Learn What Connects Us. We've got a couple of copies of that book to give away. We'll do that at the end of the hour. If you'd like to sign up for that, it's 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. And, Mark, we've been talking a little bit about, you know, how to what does it look like to live a godly life? I'm interested in your perspective, maybe particularly for men, because I know you've worked in this area of sexual addiction for a long time. But you know, we hear this the saying "garbage in, garbage out." Is that really true? I mean, are men particularly susceptible, I guess, to visual images? So you know, the kinds of movies we watch or what we're looking at online has maybe more impact than a woman.
One of the saddest dynamics that the neuroscientists are telling us is that, you know, there's been so much bombardment of images and messages to women that women have become more visually oriented than we would have historically said they were. So that points to the fact that, you know, Paul was absolutely right in Romans 12:2 that the brain can be transformed. Now, it can be transformed in either direction, Neil. So, I mean, garbage in means that you're taking stuff into your brain and your brain remembers it. And it starts to make associations. And the neuroscientists tell us that that creates what they sometimes, in a more common way, refer to as ruts in the brain. Chemical pathways in the brain. The good news is the brain is, here's my favorite neuroscience word, plastic. So it's neuroplasticity, meaning that we can transform all of those connections. If we start putting good stuff in the brain, making good associations in the brain, then the brain will, in fact, transform itself. You see, Paul writing 2,000 years ago was exactly right anatomically. And how would he have known? Because God designed the brain in such a way that it will be formed and shaped by whatever we put into it. Now, I think what's happened in our culture since the 60s and 70s is that, you know, the messages to women, you know, have largely been to be more sexually aware, sexually active, and so forth. And I think that's done a number on women's brains. And if you look at the percentage of women now who are getting involved in sexual addiction, I mean, it has dramatically increased in the last 20 years.
And again, I know you've addressed it, I think, in the book Seven Desires, that, you know, this is sort of theory that, you know, men, you know, are more sexual. They have to be expressive in that area. Women have to, you know, go along, and that, you know, we die without it, sort of thing.
That will somehow implode,
yeah,
if we don't, you know, have sex frequently, which is also a neuroscientific myth, by the way, meaning that, you know, the brain has an ability to build up tolerance to whatever we put into it. So, you know, if we put alcohol or nicotine or caffeine or, you know, whatever, it's going to build up a tolerance over time. I mean, your average listener can relate to that. I mean, the first time you drank a cup of coffee, what was the buzz? Well, how many cups today do you need to get the same buzz? With sexuality, it's pretty much the same dynamic. So the neurochemistry of sexual arousal produces adrenaline and dopamine and some other neurochemicals. The brain can adjust to that. I mean, God has put an amazing ability in the brain to adjust to whatever we put into it. So the truth generally is that the more we put into the brain, the more it's going to need. So the idea that, you know, more sex would be the answer, or more sex is the answer to a man or a woman, for that matter, staying sexually pure, is just not accurate. I think even in 1 Corinthians 7, when Paul talks about, you know, if you burn with lust, go ahead and get married, I think more so he's talking about the fact that sexuality is meant to be an expression of spiritual and emotional connection between a husband and wife, the Christ-like connection that he goes on to describe in Ephesians 5. So I just think that sex is the solution in terms of a husband and wife being connected, but it's only the expression of the emotional and spiritual connection. If a couple is only having sex that's biological, in other words, it's just a physical act, that kind of sexuality is never satisfying. So, by the way, I could go on with this one, but then again, also like you were talking about, Neil, we've seen a dramatic increase in female sexuality. So it's really true to say today that there are at least one-third of the couples out there where the wife's desire for sex is actually higher than the husband's.
We're going to come back and talk more as we kind of work our way through issues of, you know, helping us understand God's plan, desire for us to live a holy life in purity. What are the guiding principles of talking a little bit about the sort of the garbage in, garbage out idea? We want to address the idea of sort of weaker brother. All right? If you know, we go to movies and our friends don't, does that how do we respond, I guess, as believers? How do we set up some guidelines, some instruction? Mark Laser helping us with that. President and director of Faithful and True and the host of the Men of the Valor program. Their online radio show, he's authored a dozen or so books. You can join our conversation at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH, or if it's more convenient, you can drop us a note. Go to the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com, and we'll continue in just a moment.
In many parts of the
fix my
Mark Laser with us today. Dr. Mark Laser is president, director of Faithful and True. He is nationally recognized as a leading authority in the field of sexual addictions, over 28 years of recovery experience. He's written a dozen books on subjects of sexual addiction and hosts the Men of Valor program. It's the Faithful and True's online radio show. We've got a couple of copies of he and his wife Debbie's book called Seven Desires, Looking Past What Separates Us to Learn What Connects Us. And as we've sort of touched on, is that oftentimes the messages that sort of pop in our head are connections to our souls, some deeper underlying issues, and we'll talk about those as we go along. We'd love to have you join the conversation. If you have a question or comment, it's 877-933-2484. Mark, I want to talk about, you know, I guess maybe we'll just use movies as an example, or drinking. All right, you know, do we just completely pull back and have nothing to do and never go to a movie because, you know, unless it's, you know, family rated, you know, or do we let those things, you know, we'll operate in moderation. You know, if somebody has a problem with it, they're in the weaker brother category. What? How do you encourage your charges in that area?
Well, it goes back to the idea I was talking about earlier about vision. Let me back up for a minute and just talk about a good friend of mine who is the source of some of the brain transformation information that I was talking about earlier. His name is Dr. Daniel Amen. And he says when we're eating or, you know, making choices about exercise or, you know, so forth, to ask ourselves the question, is this good for the brain? So I think that question is pertinent to whatever is out there in the world that we might be asked or called or invited along to do, you know, whether it's movies or drinking or whatever. You know, is it good for the brain? I would add to that, certainly as a Christian, when I'm looking at any particular activity, is it good for the soul? And rather than say to myself, you know, you shouldn't go to movies, or you shouldn't drink, or you shouldn't do this, you know, in kind of a black and white way, I'm going to look at any activity and say, is this good for my soul? Is this good for my brain? Is this good for my body? And if you look at all of those aspects of ourselves, then I think now we start making better choices based on our vision. And if our vision is all about, you know, becoming more Christ-like, following God, honoring His calling in our life, then I think it helps us to make healthy choices in all of those areas.
We've, you know, many of us have grown up in, I guess, an environment where it was, you know, come apart and be separate, touch not the unclean thing. I mean, that was our kind of our only framework.
Sure.
That doesn't necessarily feel like that puts us in a very engaging way in today's culture.
Well, it doesn't. And, you know, I think we have to be, as Jesus said, you know, in the world, but not of the world. And if we're going to, you know, I was just talking to a client earlier today about Matthew 5, you know, 14, I think 15, 16, about being a light. You know, don't hide your light, you know, under a bowl. I think I just think of my old Sunday school days with, you know, hide your light under a bushel, no, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I think we have to be out there in culture, and we have to be a light, and not, you know, a light that's, you know, just a perfectionistic black and white negative thinking person about all the don'ts that we're doing. But I think we have to be that light, which is, you know, there are so many things in life that give us such a sense of peace and serenity, and that is following Christ. And I think we have to be examples of that, and we can't be examples of that if we're not out there in the world.
You know, you've written and counseled many on understanding sort of triggers and triggering events. Say a little bit more about that, maybe just in terms of as it relates to, you know, the living a pure life or living a life that is, as you say, is it good for the soul? Is it good for the body? Is it good for the brain?
Right. Well, you know, to use the movie example, I'm going to, if Debbie and I, my wife and I, want to go to a movie, you know, we're going to read the reviews. We're not going to trust the rating, by the way. You know, that's the worst thing to trust, because there's so many PG movies that have inappropriate things in them. So we're going to read the reviews and, you know, maybe even talk to people who've seen the movie. I'm just, you know, as a man living in our current culture, I'm going to choose to go to movies that are not going to trigger me into, you know, thoughts that I don't want to have to deal with one way or the other. I choose not to go to trigger, what I call trigger-rich environments. Now, there are other times, particularly after, you know, 28 years in my case of working on this, that I would say there's other parts of the world. I can go to the beach now. I can go to, you know, the swimming pools and stuff like that, and I can generally... I was with a friend the other day on a golf course, and, you know, the cart girl came by. Well, you know, they always put very attractive young women on these cart girls to get all the men out there playing golf to buy more stuff. And my friend, who's in early level recovery, was saying, you know, that woman is a real trigger. And I said, well, you know, she's a very attractive young lady, and I just look at her as counterfeit. At least for me, she's counterfeit, meaning that she's not the real deal. She's not the thing that satisfies my soul. you know, my wife is the woman that satisfies my soul. So, I mean, when you're out there and you're looking at some of those triggers, just think about how counterfeit, you know, most of those triggers are. You're asking me questions that I could preach lengthy lectures on.
That would be fine because we're learning a lot. Someone had asked too about could you speak to parents and the importance of filtering what they see too. I mean, I think that's maybe one of the challenges, right? We don't let our kids, you know, do this or watch that or be involved in this, but we'll do it ourselves.
Well, that's a certain form of not being integrated in terms of, you know, we've got one example of doing this and then we're telling the kids not to do that, you know. So I just think that as parents, we're modeling. So we teach the kids so much more. I mean, I spend, you know, half my days, Neil, talking to people about their histories and their families and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, what they pick up on so much more than teaching per se is the modeling. And what did mom and dad do? What did they act like? Were they peaceful? Did they seem to love and care for one another? You know, that's such important instruction. I think we do our best to protect them from, you know, all the craziness, particularly that it's out there on the internet. I mean, we certainly need to have internet safeguards and that kind of thing. At the same time, I think we're always looking for teachable moments. So if the kid is accidentally looking at something on TV or something comes up on the internet that they ask you a question about, or they come home from school and says, my friend was talking to a couple earlier that said, you know, he just knew the word pornography. Where did you learn the word pornography? Well, my friends at school are looking at it, and that's what they called it. And now we need to say, well, don't look at that stuff. I mean, that's an old message. But I think an important message is, okay, don't look at it, but why? Well, the reason why is we don't want it to affect our soul. We don't want it to affect our brain, and we don't want it to affect our heart in the ways that it has an influence on us. So I think every time we're telling a kid what not to do, I think we have to tell them the reason why it's not healthy, and then we have to offer them the alternative, what is healthy, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Well, maybe expand a little bit more about, you know, what do we say in terms of how does it affect our brain and our soul and our body?
Well, I think we, you know, even at younger ages, we can explain to the kids that the stuff that we take in, the garbage in, it does have an effect. The brain kind of locks it in. It starts to make associations. I think this new movie, I haven't seen it, so I'm not necessarily fully recommending it because I haven't seen it, but Inside Out or something like that, it's supposed to be a cartoon that's about healthy brain and healthy emotions. I think that from the Christian couples that I've seen that have seen it, they say it's a really good movie to take kids to teach them about how the brain is affected by things. Now, don't take my word for it, but that's what I'm hearing. But I think we're always looking for examples to teach the kids about what's good for them, what's good for their soul, what's good for their brain, what's good for their body. And so, but I can't stress enough that if we're going to tell them what's bad, we at the same time we need to tell them what's good.
Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking about parents modeling talking to our kids about what's good. But can spouses or should spouses be holding each other accountable? Is there a different way of going about that in terms of, you know, my husband says, well, it's, you know, I'm watching this. It doesn't really bother anyone.
That's a question that we deal with just about every day around here, Neil. The key to that one is we don't want to turn our spouse into a surrogate parent. You know, I don't want Debbie to be my mother, and I know for a fact she certainly doesn't want me to be her father. And sometimes we use the term parentification. So if in a marriage the wife is, you know, pointing out to the husband boundaries he needs to have, what that suggests to me, by the way, is that the husband is not doing a good enough job at maintaining his own boundaries, establishing his own boundaries, and letting his wife know what they are. If you see a wife stepping in to try to control things, it could be because the husband has let go of his responsibilities for doing that. I think, and then further than that, I think couples need to be companions. I mean, that's what Genesis 2 talks about. I mean, we're supposed to be companions. So if we're companions, you know, this thing about being in the world but not of the world, I mean, we better darn well be having conversations about that, where we're establishing ideas about what's healthy for us and not healthy for us. And so I, you know, for example, you know, to be practical, you know, a couple is walking out at the mall, or and they see inappropriate stuff in the store windows, or they see people that are inappropriately dressed, or they go to some movie unsuspecting about what the content might be. You know, I think they ought to have a conversation as what's going to be our strategy here if this kind of stuff pops up. Not that the wife is telling the husband what he should do or the husband is telling the wife what she should do. You know, they should be having a conversation about what are we going to do about this.
And then, you know, just having talked about that ahead of time, so you can, you know, you can respond appropriately if and when.
You know, Neil, I love the book Nehemiah. Just to kind of throw in an Old Testament book here out of the blue. But, you know, Nehemiah, when they were rebuilding the wall, he knew at some point that the enemies surrounding them were going to get so incensed at the progress they were making that they were going to attack. That appears in the opening of chapter 4. So what he did was he posted guards at the weakest places of the wall, posting them, the Bible says, by families. And I love that part because there's an anticipation that there's going to be an attack. And we as Christians know the more successful we get in our Christian walk, Satan hates that, and he's going to come against it. So, you know, as families, you know, couples as the head of the family, they need to be prepared. Nehemiah prepared for the attack he knew was going to come. You know, what are families doing to prepare, and how are the parents standing with the children? You know, there's school conversations, cultural conversations, neighborhood conversations about what is activity that's not good for our soul and brain and body. You know, and what are some healthy activities that we as a family can also have fun doing.
Good insights today from Dr. Mark Laser, President and Director of Faithful and True, and the host of the Men of Valor program, Faithful and True's online radio show. And I should just mention, is it faithfulandtrue.org?
.com.
Faithfulandtrue.com.
Yeah, we make money selling books on our website, so we have to be a .com.
Okay, all right. It's great material available there. And speaking of books, Dr. Laser has written a dozen or so, and we've got some copies of the book that he and his wife Debbie have written called Seven Desires, a couple of copies of that. We'll give that away at the end of the hour and continue our conversation today. We'd welcome your participation as well. It's 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, or if it's more convenient, want to drop us a note, just go to myfaithradio.com and click on the Connecting Faith show page. There's an email link right there, and that'll get us right to the studio, and we can answer your question or your comment there as well. Stay tuned for more with Mark Laser. Talking about living faithful and true. That's the name of the organization that Dr. Mark Laser's founder and president of, Faithful and True, and they have a online radio show heard weekly, the Men of Valor program. He's a nationally recognized leading authority in the field of sexual addiction, over 28 years of recovery experience. There's a number of resources available at the website faithfulandtrue.com. We're talking about one of the books that he and his wife Debbie have written called Seven Desires, Looking Past What Separates Us to Learn What Connects Us. And I was thinking, Marcus, we've been talking about, you know, how we react to the culture around us and maybe, you know, avoiding those trigger-rich environments. You know, you address in the book, you know, the problem's not the problem, that generally we, you know, what we're looking for maybe in terms of satisfaction through, you know, movies or drink or whatever it might be, is just the tip of the iceberg, right? There's an underlying issue. Let's talk about some of those kind of underlying emotions and feelings.
Well, sure. Basically, you know, when Debbie and I are working with couples, one of the things we've learned over the years is that they'll generally come in here and they'll be, you know, arguing about something very concrete and specific. When we get to know them and get to know their heart and soul, we always find out that, underneath that argument are some desires, which in fact the couple has in common. Let's say, for example, they come in and they're arguing about the budget or the checkbook, or they get an overdraft statement, or they're not tithing like one of them wants to do, or whatever it is. We generally find, for example, that couples come from, you know, God brings together a one flesh union. They bring different skills. You know, Debbie's was raised by a corporate CEO. I was raised by a pastor. Well, you know, my dad taught me, you know, not to worry about money, and Deb's dad taught her to be very responsible. So, you know, we have different skills, and we can argue about that. Or underneath all of that, one of the desires of all of our hearts, I think, is to be safe in the world. And I love Larry Burkett's old definition of safety financially. It's like, you know, we need to have enough money so that we're not going to need to ask other people for it. And so if we have enough, and he wrote a book called How Much is Enough, you know, the desire of our heart is to be safe. We all desire to be safe. Debbie and I can have much healthier conversations about what does safety actually mean, and what does safety actually mean when it comes to our money and how to spend it and how to tithe it and so forth. We could take any argument that a couple brings in here and find that at the bottom of it is some desire of their heart. And then below that is the truth. And the truth in Christ is that, you know, God intends to meet our desires. You know, Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of the heart. We find that if we can train couples to start at the bottom of what we call the iceberg model and to start with truth, you know, what is God's truth? What does biblical truth teach us? You know, what is true about our desires? What desires do we share in common? Then, you know, all of these conversations about, you know, external things, superficial things, they go a lot more easily.
Yeah, so if we're, you know, to be heard or affirmed or chosen, included, blessed, you know, touched, those are some of the yearnings that we have, right? But so we dig down to the bedrock truth, or we start there and build up, right?
That's exactly it. We start at the bottom. You know, one of the interesting, when we started writing this book about this model, the iceberg model, one, you know, it's great how God gives us like examples along the way. I was watching some special on the National Geographic Channel about icebergs and what happens when they break off from an ice shelf. Well, they start migrating south. Well, you know, and you can only see 10% of the iceberg above the water. Well, when they get south into warmer waters, you know what an iceberg actually does? It flips over. It completely does a 180. And so the bottom becomes the top, and the top becomes the bottom. And that's what we're trying to teach our couples. You know, what's at the bottom of every argument is truth and what we have in common. Debbie and I years ago got tired of this Mars-Venus thing, you know, Neil. It's like, you know, if I could just figure out life on Venus, you know, then I would be able to, you know, do whatever Debbie wants.
Sure, the men are from Mars, right? Women are from Venus, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. So if women are from Venus, Debbie's supposedly from Venus. That's, you know, that's a ridiculous thought. I mean, you know, men and women, God created us male and female in his own image. So we both have God's image in us. We ought to have some things, therefore, that we have in common. And, we just put it simply, men and women are from Earth. We are all created by God. We are all created in God's image. We are perfectly and wonderfully made. He has a plan to prosper us and not to harm us. Could we start there? You know, isn't that a better place to start? Then, you know, men are different than women. And by the way, those differences are not as profound as we once thought they were.
Get a good insight today from Mark Laser. And I guess it reminds us those differences aren't as great as we think. And yet, the pain can be real. We can intentionally or unintentionally inflict a lot of pain on our spouse or those that we love and care about.
Well, we're doing that when we're searching for false solutions to our deeper desires. I was using the word earlier, counterfeit. So if in the old days when I was first married to Debbie, I was looking at pornography, well, that's a counterfeit. You know, that's a total counterfeit. Now, did the fact that I was looking at it, you know, create a lot of pain in Debbie's heart? It certainly did. And it has to do with, you know, one of the desires, and that is that we all desire to be chosen. Debbie, you know, when we got married, she wanted to be chosen as the only woman in my life, the only one that I would look at with sexual thoughts. And if I'm, even if I'm just looking at pornography compared to, you know, having affairs or whatever, you know, I'm violating one of the deeper desires of her heart to be the only woman in my life. So you're exactly right. I mean, I've had to lead a life now of becoming faithful and choosing only Debbie, and that's been something that I've been able to hopefully accomplish. And, you know, don't get me wrong, I never want to set myself up as the paragon of this. I'm getting better at it, let me put it that way.
Say more about, maybe we got about 3 minutes left or so, we could talk about the journey to becoming faithful. I mean, you said, you know, as you said, I haven't arrived yet, getting better at it, but what would you say are some key principles? Say, I want to be on that journey of becoming faithful.
Well, it's first of all a decision. You know, we've got to decide that this is what I want. It goes back to the vision idea. You know, early on in my recovery when I started, I was in treatment here in Minneapolis. I mean, I started to get a vision. You know, what kind of man did God really call me to be? And that's a faithful husband, a faithful father. That's what I want to become, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to get there. Now, to distinguish, you know, I believe in our field, you know, I got sober from day one. So, and I stayed sober. So, you know, that's possible. So I don't want any of the wives out there listening say, no, we're gonna wait for the husbands to do this imperfectly in terms of sexual fidelity. That's not true. In terms of fidelity, we can achieve that. If we make a decision, we want to be faithful. That can happen right away. What I'm talking about is my ability to serve my wife with the desires of her heart, you know, to love her, to cherish her, to be kind, to be nurturing, to include her. Including means, by the way, anytime we tell our spouse a lie, we're excluding them from truth. So to include them is to be a truth teller. Well, even today, I find that there's times when I am at least tempted to not always tell Debbie the truth, a white lie or whatever it is. You know, Christ is always working to perfect our character, I think, and we never quite arrived until we die. I do think that we can get a whole lot better at it, and that's what I'm working on. That's my vision for my marriage and, you know, for my fatherhood as, you know, a biological father and as a servant. You know, my professional career has been so imperfect. I mean, God is constantly reminding me, you know, Mark, I have other things for you to do. You better start taking care of your body. You better start eating right. You better start taking care of your brain, putting good things in that. And I could go on and on, you know.
Those are good words. You can find out more about the writings, the insights, the resources available at faithfulandtrue.com. Mark Laser is president, director of Faithful and True, and the host of the Men of Valor program. It's Faithful and True's online radio show, and he's written a dozen books or so, including the landmark book Healing the Wounds of Sexual Addiction. The book we have referenced a bit today is one that he and his wife Debbie have written called Seven Desires, Looking Past What Separates Us to Learn What Connects Us. And Mark, it's always good to connect with you. Thank you for your wisdom and for challenging us to keep on that path toward faithful and true.
Well, thanks a lot, Neil, for having me. It's always a pleasure. Thanks.
Dr. Mark Laser joining us today on Connecting Faith. If you missed part of the show today, I'd like to maybe pass it on to a friend and know of someone that could benefit from this conversation. Go to our website. It's myfaithradio.com, and then click on the Connecting Faith show page. We post the interviews up there afterwards. They're all shareable. So you can listen again and pass it on to a friend. And encourage you to join us again tomorrow for Connecting Faith at the noon hour here on Faith Radio.